Good morning, church. Thank you all for fighting your way through the hurricane to get here. So my new best friend, who I haven't met yet, is a guy named Alan Harris. He's the director of emergency management for Seminole County. We've got a great, deep, meaningful text relationship going. And I invited him to come to church today. And he said, well, we will. He said, my family and I will come because I'm really curious to see what you're doing and meet you. But he said, you know, there is that little hurricane thing coming this weekend and I'm a little busy. And I said, well, I'm just going to pray it doesn't happen. And he said, well, good. So last night, Rocky and I are texting and I'm watching the 11 o'clock news. And you know, they're saying, well, the hurricane's kind of falling apart. It's moving real slow. You've got these high-level wind shear that's hurting it, and all of this dry air from Florida. Have y'all had any dry air at your house lately? I've looked for it. I can't find it at my house anywhere. Some hot air, maybe, but, you know. Why should we be surprised when God's people pray and stuff happens? You know, really. Why should we be surprised? In fact, a lot of the time, we just need to get down on our face before the Lord and say, forgive me for my lack of faith. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that because I prayed, it stopped the storm in its tracks. But you know what? A lot of people were praying, right? You know, probably two or three of you guys were praying. And you know, so why should we be surprised? Why should we be surprised? All right, the last... few weeks, we've been talking a lot about God's will. And now that you guys know everything you need to know about God's will, today we're going to talk about being on mission with God. Being on mission with God. And the problem that you have with electronics is when they don't work. Yeah. So this morning, I want you to find your Bibles, and let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. We call this the Great Commission because we're going to be talking about being on mission with God. Once you know God's will, once you have an understanding of God's will, then you know that you've got to be on mission with him. So Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for all my brothers and sisters here today. Lord, I pray that you would just give us your spirit. Give us your spirit, Father, so that he would open up your word to us. Give us your spirit so that he would teach us, so that it's not just me. Really, truly, Lord, I've got very little to do with it at all. It is the power of your Spirit from your word speaking to the hearts of each and every one of us so that all of us come away with a message from you about what it means to be on mission with you. Or maybe completely off subject, maybe you've got a message totally different for somebody sitting here today. But Lord, I pray that we will be open, our hearts and minds will be open to all that you have for us, that we'll be listening for your word. And so, Father, be with us, Lord. Pour out your spirit on us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So this morning, I want us to get sort of three takeaways. First of all, being on mission with Jesus is an everyday thing. It's not just a Sunday thing. It's an everyday thing. Secondly, to be on mission with Jesus every day, we've got to have good Samaritan priorities. Good Samaritan priorities. And third, we need to go back to something we looked at a few weeks ago, to remember every day God's general will for our lives. So first of all, being on mission with Jesus is an everyday thing. You know, when you get up in the morning, you never know. You never know what a day might bring. Who knows? You never know what a day might bring. So for these guys in Matthew 28, the risen Christ gathers the remaining 11 of them together. And for us this morning, the key verse is verse 19, where Jesus says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." The risen Savior is standing before them, telling them that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. So as you go, therefore, you go knowing that I am with you, Jesus is saying. That's an amazing thought. Anywhere you go, forever and ever, I'm with you. Well, brothers and sisters, that is good news because it means that we're never alone. On Wednesday nights, we've been looking at Philippians, and Paul's there in prison, and he's writing to them saying, you know, I'm not alone because Christ is there with him. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It's an amazing thing to wrap your head around, to know that whether I'm at work or I'm at school or I'm on the golf course or I'm at the beach, Christ is with me. So maybe if we understand God's will now a little bit, we understand then, as baptized believers in Jesus Christ, that Christ himself is our Lord and Savior. We are to go. We are to go. The other day, I was going to that spiritual wasteland, that prime mission field known as Publix. It's not quite as daunting as Walmart, but I was across the street at Publix, and so I've got everything on the list that Kathy texted me so I could go home. And I asked the young lady at the cash register, how's your day been? She said, good. I said, has everyone been nice to you? And she said, well, yeah, they have. And I asked the young lady bagging the groceries, have people been nice to you too? She said, yeah. And I said, well, if anybody's ugly to you, you send them to me. And the girl at the cash register said, well, thanks, but how will I find you? I said, well, I'm the pastor of the church across the street. You are. And we stopped, and it was really good that there was nobody behind me in line because she had 20 questions about First Baptist Sweetwater. And so something as simple as checking out at the grocery store can become a holy moment. You get it? And you never know what a day might bring. Being on mission with Jesus really is an everyday thing because you never know. You're doing just normal stuff. You're pumping gas. You're walking the dog. You're in line at McDonald's. You're doing normal everyday stuff, but you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, and he is with you. And suddenly, you find yourself on the receiving end of someone who's in need. Maybe they just need someone to talk to. Maybe they got a problem with their car. My daughter, I love her. She's amazing. She's amazing. Somebody said all she does is hit home runs, and there's a lot of truth in that. But she's just got something about her. And so she ran out of gas in line at Burger King. And so somehow she got out of line, and then she couldn't figure out. She walked over to the gas station, and she couldn't figure out how to get the gas in the gas tank and so forth. And it took a small army of people at Burger King to help her get gas in her gas tank with the little gas can she got from the gas station next door. But she used that as an opportunity to do what? To show people Jesus. because she was so grateful, and she said, thank you. And she said, you know, is there anything I can do for you? And they're like, well, no, we're fine. We know how to find the gas station before we run out. You know. And she said, can I pray for you? Boom, stopped them in their tracks. Well, yeah, you know. To keep up with Jesus as we breathlessly chase after him. We meet the people that he meets, and maybe they just need to talk. And maybe they need help with their car. But who they really need is Jesus Christ. And what they really need is for someone to show them Jesus. Now, to keep from being that disciple, you know, like the ones in Matthew 17, where Jesus screams at them, you unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? As a disciple, you don't want Jesus yelling that at you. To keep from being that disciple that just causes our Lord frustration and disappointment, we need to have Good Samaritan priorities. The story of the Good Samaritan is over in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 35. So Jesus is telling the story, and he says, a certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him, and went off, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a certain priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place, saw him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. And he came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast, and he brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. And on the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. Wow. Here was a guy on a business trip. And he comes upon an accident, a crime scene, he doesn't know. He just knows that somebody's over there in the ditch hurt and they need help. So he stops. Now, he's on a trip. He's on his way to Jericho. He's got people expecting him. He's got appointments. He's got business to transact. He's got stuff to do. And he stops. And he's not made of money, but he gets the guy to a place, an inn. You know, they didn't have hospitals. And so he takes him to an inn, and he tells the innkeeper, whatever it costs to take care of this poor man, after he had taken care of him overnight, just put it on my bill. He stops. He spends his time. He spends his resources. He spends his money. And one of the messages, brothers and sisters, is that in God's economy, people are more important than schedules. People are more important than schedules. When we are on mission with Jesus, people are more important than business. People are more important than sales. And if you have a Christ-centered set of Good Samaritan priorities, there's going to be a lot that happens in your life that's not very convenient. It's just going to be that way. Why? Because people need you. They need you because you represent Christ. And so you set aside your business, you set aside your sales, you set aside your schedule, you set aside all of your stuff, and you do it without worrying about it, right? Because brothers and sisters, look, do you honestly think that God's not going to take care of the other stuff? If you set your life aside for him, Do you honestly believe that God is not going to take care of the other stuff? Do we believe, do we really believe that His eye is on the sparrow? Do we really believe that He clothes the lilies of the field? Do we really believe that the God who brings water out of a rock in the desert and manna from heaven, who loves you so much that He sent His only Son to die for you, do you really believe He's going to let you drown? No. He's going to care for you as you go on mission with Him. If we are truly going to call ourselves Christian, if we're actually going to wear that label, then Good Samaritan priorities are a have to. Have to. We've got to have them. We've got to be willing, as God puts people in our way, we've got to be willing to set it all aside just for that God moment with that person right there. To the world, well, you know, the world out there, they know that their way of living doesn't work. I mean, look at it. It's a disaster. But can the world see a tangible alternative? Jesus has one, the best one. It's the only one that leads to life. Honestly, it's the only one that really works. But brothers and sisters, the world doesn't want to hear about it. They don't want to hear about it. What they want is to see it. It's like the whole world is from Missouri. Show me. Show me something that works. Let me see that it works, that it makes a difference. The story started with a smart guy coming to Jesus, going, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? It's in Luke 10:25. And in verse 26, he says to him, well, what is written in the law? How does it read to you? And he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And so Jesus tells him the story of the Samaritan on a business trip, seeing the man there in the ditch. Do this and you will live. And you know, here's the deal. What do you think you're going to see when you get to heaven? You're going to see Jesus. That's going to be awesome. I mean, I do a lot of funerals and people are going, he's just going to see his mama. I hope so. Don't know mama, but yeah. And if he does, that's great. But it's better, it's best, it's going to be awesome to see Christ face to face. To be able to sit and be there at the throne of God. How awesome is that? But you know, I believe who else you're going to see are the people who are there because of you. Don't be disappointed because someone who you hoped would be there isn't there because they were the one in the ditch. And you didn't take time to set your schedule aside to show them Jesus. You may only really have that one chance. Being on mission with Jesus is an everyday thing. So as we go, we go with Good Samaritan priorities, and we remember with every step of the way God's will for us all. Micah 6, chapter 6, verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. Isn't that exactly what the Samaritan was doing as he was going on his way? It was wrong of someone to rob the man, beat him up, and leave him in the ditch. It was also wrong for other people to walk by and not do anything. To do justice, the just thing to do is to stop. Lay aside your schedule, lay aside your selfish priorities, and do something to help the man. And love kindness. Love the kindness of God that is pouring from heaven through you into the man's heart, reviving him, strengthening him, letting him know that his God has not forsaken him or forgotten him. And brothers and sisters, you walk humbly with your God, because here it's not you. That's the deal. It's not you. It's God in you. It's God working through you. It's God empowering you. The very Spirit of Christ alive in you, giving you strength, enabling you to do something extraordinary with your otherwise ordinary life on your otherwise ordinary day. As you go on mission with Jesus. But there is that fourth panel of God's general will that we live our lives in every day. We do justice, we love kindness, we walk humbly with our God. And John 13, 34 says, love one another even as I have loved you, love one another. So, as you go to Publix, as you go to Lowe's, as you go to BurgerFi, really good milkshakes, as you go, love. Love as Jesus loves, because you never know who God is going to put in your path. It may be someone who's been praying hard. Lord, I need help. And you are the answer to their prayers. God has put you in their path to answer their prayers as He works through you. And you can't ignore them. You can't get away from the tears in their eyes. And brothers and sisters, you are the very hands and arms and face of Christ Himself to these people. Oh, it's a great thing when we pray and God answers our prayers. Blows apart a hurricane, right? But you know what? It's even a greater thing when you are used by God to be the answer to somebody else's prayers. I've always been a huge fan of St. Francis of Assisi. 12th century Catholic priest. He was a little rich kid early on. He had a big moment with God one day. Great story. And there's a quote that is typically attributed to him that says this: preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. I love that. He never said it, but I love it. I mean, he gets that quote tagged to him all the time, but there's really no evidence he ever said it. But it absolutely goes along with everything he lived his life with. Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. His actions always spoke louder than any words. People would call him audacious for the things that he would do and call his actions outlandish. But by his actions, he won the right to be heard. People may argue with you on all kinds of points, but they cannot argue with the impact of your actions. So whether he was confronting the Pope on the Pope's opulent and lavish lifestyle, or whether he was in the desert confronting the Muslim general Saladin on his lust for military conquest, the Christ-like actions of St. Francis demonstrated for a generation what it means to be on mission with Jesus. It's basically the same thing that Edgar Guest said in poetry. He's the guy who said, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I would rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. The eye is a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example's always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see God put in action is what everybody needs." Amen. Brothers and sisters, are you saved? Are you truly saved? Have you picked up your cross and are willing to follow Jesus every day, because it is an everyday thing being on mission with him? Are you on mission with him every day? Doing justice, loving kindness, walking humbly behind him, and loving others as he loves them, with those Good Samaritan priorities guiding your life. Somebody once asked a mission society, "Please send more help to Africa. God's doing great things here." And they said, "Well, we would. When you get better roads and better accommodations, we will." And he said, "Look, if you'll send me just 10 who don't care about the roads or the accommodations, we can win a continent for Christ." Being on mission every day with Jesus, because you never know what a day might bring. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the invitation to go with you. How awesome. And Lord, just teach us and show us. Coach us up on how to do justice, on how to love kindness, what it means to walk humbly with you. And Lord, perhaps most of all, show us how to love as you love. Help us to see with those eyes that the Samaritan in your story could see with. Help us to respond with the heart to be the face and hands and arms of you to a broken world. And so, Father, give us your power. Give us your spirit. Use us to change the world, one cashier at a time. Thank you, Lord, for being with us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today, Lord, for slowing down and stopping that hurricane so we could be here to worship. Bless, Father, each and every one here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.